It's all it came out about that Belichick liked him, but it's like I get you don't know everybody, and I don't know. It's like read what I put for the Detroit Free Press. They put a D minus. They think it's a crazy reach. He's an unknown player from a second tier conference who missed his final six games with a shoulder injury, but then he had 82 tackles in like eight games. And yeah, injuries are an issue, but he's not a literally unknown guy. You should kind of have an idea who he is a little bit, right? Like maybe he's not a guy you're looking through the year. Like, oh, he's a like Leighton Vander Esch or even somebody just below that who got picked by the Cowboys first round last year. But if you have a guy who's been in all like all conference consideration, most people around doing mock drafts or evaluations know who he is. He gets an invite to the Senior Bowl and the Combine. You should know who this guy is more than who is this guy. Like, had he not got a Senior Bowl invite or Combine invite, okay, I could see that, but the guys who cover this team, like, this is unknown. No, he's not an unknown if you get a Combine invite and a Senior Bowl invite. You know you're pretty good. The injury stuff and not being a top-tier conference, whatever, those are kind of legitimate, more injury than not, but saying he's unknown, maybe unknown to fans, but he's not an unknown guy if you're supposed to be covering the draft on some level when he gets those big invites. Most people are okay with it, like just lukewarm. But part of it, I think, is just because where he got picked, that's all. But I think he'll be fine. He can get to the ball quickly. He can make plays off the line. Yeah, he played in Hawaii. Nobody saw him too much just because of the situation that is, which is a hindrance. But here's the thing. The people who run the Lions knew who he was. They thought he's high enough to be there. There's guys who hear stories like, I'm going to go to Columbia and play football and get my great education. If I'm good enough, they'll find you. They bring guys in from Germany to play in the NFL. The Vikings have a couple of guys. There's a guy from the Bills, from an English rugby player. May not make the roster, might be a futures practice squad guy. If you could play, they'll find you. So they
That's
clearly
true.
think he could play. And so the excuses from fans, I get, but if you cover the team, do some research. Like, this could be still be a surprise pick, but once you, there'll be plenty of follow-ups and stuff. But if they could find you, it's like you gotta. There's thousands of guys that get drafted, so I'm not going to say you should know everybody. But if your team picks this guy, hopefully they do the research now for next week to do all these follow-up stuff. Say, oh, maybe he is a good player. Maybe it was worth it. But I just think the position, like, had he been a pick number 85, he may have had a better grade. So as far as I can tell, CBS liked him the most, like a B plus. So he's fine. It is sort of reach, I think, but it's good for him, right? I'm not going to blame him for getting picked that high.
No, definitely not. I think we're all going to be behind him and hoping he does well.
Are you surprised he's the first guy taken from the conference?
Yes.
Who did you think would have been number one?
I thought that it would have been one of the tight ends.
You mean only the one that got drafted, or the one that did not get drafted?
Well, you forget that there were two that got drafted in the third
Oh,
round.
sorry. Sorry, I forget about Kalai Warren because Aztecs don't throw the ball enough, and they apparently should have.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to say that they should have, because, in the amount of work that he got in the passing game, I think he showed enough to really entice, and, it's not necessarily a one-to-one comparison, but I think the lesson that you take away from someone like George Kittle is, George Kittle didn't really do much in the Iowa offense too, but the 49ers saw enough in his skill set to be like, okay, we'll take a flyer on him and he'll see what he does. And then, what, 2 years later, he's a 1,000-yard pass catcher?
Yeah, but third round picks on a flyer.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think in that range of picks, especially at number 86, where Waring ended up getting taken, that is the kind of place where you want to start taking, advantage of upside.
A little bit,
And I
yeah.
think that, if I were comparing Waring to Josh Oliver or Dax Raymond, I think that he probably does have just a touch more upside, and he's entering a pretty good situation where it's not like he has to step in and be the man right away, too, because the Houston Texans do have some, capable of not necessarily like Pro Bowl caliber tight ends. It's what they have Ryan Griffin, I think, is slated to be their starter right
I'm
now.
checking. I'm trying to remember who it was. They had a guy. I knew they had tied in a couple. Let me see right now. I got the Texans depth chart pulled up from earlier in the year. The one guy speaking of who got too many concussions, we had Griffin, Jordan Thomas, Jordan Atkins. But they had, I think it's Altemeier a couple years ago. But Texans have had pretty good. I mean, knowing them, watching them a bit, pretty good success at tight end. So he may not come in and start over Griffin or Thomas, but what they do, if you're a third round pick, you're expected to make the roster. And Griffin's been around for 7 years, so it's not like he's a guy who's been there for a couple. So there's room for him to be on there. The Texans seem to do the tight end position quite well. So it could end up being well.
The flip side is that, you know, within that San Diego State offense, you know that he's a pretty good run blocker as well.
Yep.
And you know that Houston's exactly the kind of team that wants to be balanced.
They are.
So, you know, if he starts in and, like, you know, sub packages and, like, two tight end packages and, you know, doing a little bit of play action down the field and stuff like that, I think that, you know, maybe he doesn't have a 1,000-yard ceiling right away. But I think if he makes good on his potential, he could be a Pro Bowl caliber player in 2 or 3 years, absolutely, especially in that offense.
Yeah, with Deshaun Watson, you have a DeAndre Hopkins out there. You're going to have whoever's going to run the ball. Is Will Fuller still on the Texans? I should know that.
Well, he's a receiver, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, other guys to open things up.
Yeah, so, Kiki Kuti, I think.
Yeah, they got a couple of pretty good guys. But let's move back to Josh Oliver really quick. Spartans get a third-round pick, number 69 overall, fifth in the round, to Jacksonville. And you got a lot of the same. Who is this guy? We're bringing the guy from what team? Their team won how many games last year? And
that's not Josh Oliver's fault.
That's
and
not.
If they had watched San Jose State as much as I did last year, they would know that.
They should know that. It's always like, well, part of this is like, people want, I saw one team, I forget who it was, like, I think in their first, I'll get back to Oliver, but they bragged about their first, I think the first 2 days, all five of our picks were from Power 5 conferences. I'm like, okay, and there's a guy in FBS who got draft, FCS got first round pick for, I think, Alabama State guy. So, like, why is that a real big brag? It just means the players you wanted just happened to be on that within those conferences.
Yeah.
So if you're on it, you can still be a great player and be on a bad team. That happens quite often, and often enough to get picked high, or even reasonably high in this case. And if you could play, like I said, if you could play, you could play. It doesn't matter. And Oliver, we've seen him catch the ball. We see what he can do. And he's, and think of him in playing the Mountain West against all the good linebackers out there from Boise State, Utah State, San Diego State. There's a lot of good linebackers, or yeah, San Diego State. A lot of good linebackers he's going up against, anyways. And he still makes plays. So if people, once people look through some stuff or watch the games, like who he's going up against week in, every single week, there's some good talent he's going up against. So it's, I'm fine. I'm not saying it's a great pick or a bad pick. It's fine. He's really good. And Jacksonville has a new quarterback, didn't they? They no longer have the Brandon's favorite player, Blake Bortles.
No, they signed Nick Foles to that big contract, remember?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, Nick Foles. And so I don't know. I'm not going to claim to know their tight end situation, but Jacksonville has running back. Now they have a quarterback. Just adding pieces to that team, and he'll be fine. He'll make the roster there. He'll do good things. And
And again, it's another situation where he doesn't have to step in and be the man right away.
Yeah.
You know, because they have, you know, intriguing if untapped potential on the outside, and guys like, you know, D.D. Westbrook is still around, Marquise Lee is still around, Keelan Cole is still around. And I believe right now their starting tight end is slated to be Jeff Swaim, who, you know, he's fine.
Sure.
And if Oliver is, you know, a 30-40 catch guy, you know, year in and year out, I think that is all that offense really needs.
That's true. And like, most of the grades are pretty good. A few of the knocks weren't against him. It's just the offense overall. It's like, this pick could be kind of wasteful if their offense doesn't show up next year, because why pick this guy to help your offense if you're not fit? Not that he's going to be the guy to help the offense be that much better, but overall, with like a new quarterback, they have Leonard Fournette there running the ball. If the offense doesn't improve, then why make this pick?
Yeah.
Not necessarily Oliver will make them better, but the offense in general needs to be better to make this pick worthwhile and useful, or sooner than later.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so it's not an Oliver, but it's like, well, hopefully Nick Foles can do it. And I guess the only concern, people are saying, like, he only had one great year of production at a lower-run program. But again, if you can play, you can play.
And if you're thinking about production, I think it's fair to point out that he might have been handicapped at least a little bit by a, shall we say, roughshod quarterback play.
Yeah, but at least that's not nice. Or rotating quarterbacks. Injuries, had to play with a different guy every couple weeks. So
And even if Foles isn't necessarily as good as he always is in the playoffs, it seems, he's still going to be way better than the guys that Oliver had thrown to him at San Jose State.
Yeah, Nick Foles to him, that'll be a good move, good pick.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to some other drafted guys here. Let me pull up my handy draft tracker here, if I had it in front of me. So then you had, we were talking about Warren a little bit to Texans. I would say the biggest shock overall is Madison getting a third-round pick.
You think so?
I think that's pretty shocked, because all those mocks I had, like, maybe a 7-round pick. Like, of the guys who did get picked.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty high pick, obviously. Pick round 3, 102. But he also goes to a team where the expectations are high, which means they want him to come in and play. I know you mentioned, like, oh, a third-round pick, about a 100 pick, kind of a flyer, but not really. But they still have Dalvin Cook, who wasn't here. Him and Dalvin Cook on the same team. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we have that conversation, or was that with him and Rashard Penny a couple years ago, about the Doak Walker? Remember that?
No, I think it was Rashard
Penny. Or Donald Pumphrey was even farther back than that.
That too, yeah.
But going to a team that offense capabilities, running back, had injuries last year, this could be a really good spot for him to be a decent running back too there for a while.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you consider that the Vikings lost Latavius Murray to free agency.
That's right. Yeah, him too.
And with Dalvin Cook having injury issues in the past, you know, Cook obviously has a high ceiling. I've always liked him.
Oh, yeah.
But I've been waiting to draft him for my fantasy football team year in and year out. But I mean, between, you know, Cook and Amir Abdullah, who's also in there as kind of a change of pace back, you know, there's an opportunity there for Madison to contribute, you know, a lot pretty easily. And especially because Minnesota is the kind of team where, even with all the talent they have on the outside between Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, you know, Mike Zimmer wants to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the Vikings' offensive line can be better than it was last year, I think Madison is the kind of running back in this situation where he's going to make that line better too, just by virtue of how physical he is.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily need him to be like a home run back, because he can be the kind of grinder that they were missing a lot last year.
Well, here's the thing too. Yeah, we saw what he did in the fourth quarter against Fresno State both times this past year. Was it 15, 20 carries? And one of the victory, one of the loss, he just tear people down. Dalvin Cook, here's the Vikings rushing from last year. It's abysmal. Cook had, I'm just saying what games he played, but 615 yards to lead the team.
Mm-hmm.
To lead the team, 615 yards. He had two touchdowns. He missed a bunch of games, but he still wasn't great. Like, games, 39 yards, 73 yards here. His best game was 136. And so a lot of the times he had, like, 10 for 29 carries, 10 for 20, 10 for 15 for 40. Mm-hmm. Number two is who we mentioned, Latavius Murray, no longer there. And then Kirk Cousins was their number three rusher last year.
Not great. If you're a Vikings fan, it's not great.
And Madison can catch the ball a little bit. So even though Boise didn't give him they sort of did. But he can catch the ball a little bit. But I think he can clearly be a good number two back there. Mm-hmm. And with the way the offense, Kirk Cousins, year two there, Thielen can, I don't know if he'll keep pace with what he did last year, but you can mention Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, they also drafted another tight end. He can come in and get, like, maybe they'll play it like last year. Maybe Cook's obviously the number one guy, get maybe be like a 70-30 type split or something like that, 70-25-5 with somebody else.
Yeah.
There's a good reason for him to come in and see decent playing time. And so
yeah.
I would say that's the most surprising of the guys who got picked, of how high he went.
I mean, when you consider it's like the last pick of the third round, I don't think it's necessarily that surprising.
Well, from where I saw him going, like, I saw undrafted, I saw seven round, I saw six round, I saw nothing. I don't think I saw anything this high.
See, I always felt like they were undervaluing him.
Well, so did
I. And that's probably because I've watched a lot of Boise State football too, and I'm like, why can't anybody bring this guy down?
Yeah, the same thing. It also just continues the streak of Boise State guys getting drafted.
That too. And I mean, and I think it's important to keep it in context too, because other really big physical backs were also going in the third round as well. Like, you know, David Montgomery from Iowa State was a guy who was kind of a grinder. You know, Devin Singletary went in the third round too. So when you consider where other runners were going at that point in the draft, that to me is another reason why it doesn't seem as much of a stretch as it might to others.
Sure, I can see that. I just didn't think I'd see him going that high from what everywhere I saw. But, like, I felt he should have been higher, like you said. But he landed in a good spot. Glad he goes there and not to a team like, say, who know, like the Cowboys, sort of Ezekiel Elliott, or like somewhere else has like a main guy who's going to take like every single snap, no matter what, running the ball.
It's funny you mention that, because I saw the joke multiple times. Like, I'm really glad the Cowboys didn't draft a running back for some reason.
what was the point?
I was just seeing multiple people mention that.
That's, well, I got a backup, I guess, but I didn't feel that was the case. I'm fine with it. Like, I like the Cowboys. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. All right, here's kind of what we have next going on. We'll kind of go through these picks really quick. I keep closing my tab for the drafted guys. So you had do you like where Keyshawn Johnson went? He gets to hang out with Kyler Murray now.
That's another interesting situation, because when you consider his pick along with pretty much everything else that Arizona was doing in the draft, it seems like Cliff Kingsbury is trying to build the kind of offense that I used to like to play when I was doing NCAA 14. Yeah, you get your high ceiling quarterback, and then you just get like the best wide receivers that you can, like all of them. You know, because and I say that because, you know, they also drafted Andy Isabella in the late second round, and then they got Hakeem Butler in the first pick of the fourth round before picking up Keyshawn Johnson in the sixth round. And so it's interesting because with those three plus Larry Fitzgerald, plus I have no idea who else Arizona has coming back off the top of my head.
Me neither.
But I think there's plenty of opportunity to go around, especially if they want to lean on the passing game, which with all the weapons they have. Oh, I forgot about Christian Kirk, who I like a lot.
And they got a pretty good running back there.
And David Johnson, too, yeah. who wants to go 1,000 passing and – or, excuse me, not passing, rushing and receiving. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden he's entering a very – wide open kind of offensive situation, and I think that with his particular skill set,
I mean, catching being able the ball to learn every time. From,
yeah, well, like I said, he's not a blazer like Isabella. Mm. He's not like a physical presence like Butler is, but I think among those three, he might have the best route running abilities, and probably has the best hands. So being able to learn kind of the nuances of the game from somebody like Larry Fitzgerald in particular is going to be a huge learning opportunity for him. For and sure. So, you know, even if he's not much more than a wide receiver three, I think out of a sixth round pick, that's really all you can ask for.
Well, and if Kingsbury's going to try to bring what he had from Texas Tech to some degree.
Yes.
Wide open, throw the ball a bit more. Like, I'm intrigued what Kingsbury will do, because what he did at Texas Tech was pretty good. He had Mahomes there for a little bit when he was playing. Went to USC for a hot second, but Texas Tech has always had – maybe not win success, but moving the ball success. I don't think it'd be full on. Plus, he'd be dumb to do it with Johnson there. Full on, just slinging the ball 50, 60, 70 times a game. But they're going to need, what, eight wide receivers on the roster just about? Six to eight active receivers every game. If they're going to go at least three wide, have Johnson and some other maybe tight end or full H-back of some sort, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for him to catch the ball and put up 25 catches his first year, perhaps, something like that, something reasonable, 20 catches,
yeah,
a couple a game, like maybe two a game or something around there. But it's a good spot because he goes to a place where his opportunity, it's new coach, so new quarterback. There could be some ups or downs, but good for him, right? I'm not going to complain at all.
Definitely not.
All right, next couple guys here, we'll wrap, go kind of go quickly to get to our other fun stuff we got going on. Marcus Epps, we did not do a draft profile for him, but he got picked. Whoops. To the Vikings, the Mountain West Minnesota Vikings.
Right?
Who took four of the 10 guys to their team.
I think they're officially the unofficial NFL team of the site now.
Yep, go Vikes. You got, Alec Madison, Epps. You also had Olabisi Johnson and long snapper Austin Cutting, who probably won't be able to play this year because he has his Air Force commitment. So.
Well, you never know.
Well... Jalen Robinette didn't get the waiver, so we'll see. And he could have been like a high pick. Going there, like, who would you rather pick, like, in a draft? Like, because Andrew Wingard didn't get selected, but Epps did.
See, it's hard to say. You know, I would say that this is the biggest surprise that you were referring to earlier. But I think that's only because he got drafted and Wingard didn't. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, they have slightly different skill sets that complemented each other very well at Wyoming.
Yeah.
And so I would have expected both of them to be selected in, you know, within the sixth, seven round range. And so it was kind of surprising to me that Epps was and Wingard wasn't, but I don't think that's, you know, a discredit to Epps at all. I always thought that he was perhaps a little bit underrated.
Me too. Everybody
just felt, because, yeah, just because of all the accolades that Wingard racked up during his time with the Cowboys. So, you know, again, if you look at where other safeties have gone in recent years, you know, Darian Thompson, for instance, was a third round pick. What else? Darren Smith a few years ago was a sixth round pick. Probably didn't get enough of a shot with Cincinnati when he got drafted. So, you know, if he can come in and be just like a quality backup safety, that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, we'll see. Because, like, the Wyoming defense makes plays. And so many players, like, he'll be on a roster that's, like, well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but you're an NFL roster. You already played a bunch of guys who are going to be in the NFL at some level.
Yeah.
And maybe he's overshadowed a tiny bit, but I felt the same with you, like Epps. Like, why are they not talking about him a bit more? No, but Wingard was a tackle machine at that position, and so maybe, like, well, he's just a run tackling guy for safety. We need him to cover better. And it could be a couple things going to the skill sets, what the team really needs, what the team wants from you that you do well. Like, maybe Wingard, who knows, maybe he'll make his roster, make a team. I think it's with the Saints, I believe, he got picked up by. I'll look in second here. I got it somewhere. But maybe, or sorry, Jacksonville. But maybe it's just the team likes what you do. That's all it could be. Because that's why some of these picks are done. It's like, well, it always goes back to do you want the best available guy or the best guy that you need to fit for in your team? And maybe they need that type of player. Epps is more suited for what they want at that position.
Yeah, and it's another situation where, like we were talking about Madison a minute ago, the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings is pretty much all set too. So, you know, he gets to go into a very good situation where he doesn't have to, you know, contribute massively right away. He can learn from Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris and Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes in that secondary. And Mike Zimmer is a defensive coach, you know, by training. And so I think that, you know, that's a really good situation for him to end up in.
I did as well. So let's go to the next pick, which might be, this possibly could be the best position for any player in the conference. Darwin Thompson to the Chiefs.
I'm glad he got picked.
So am I. He got picked and was around 6, 214. That Chiefs running back position is fairly wide open.
They can make anybody look good.
There's that. Andy Reid does great things. Like, they don't have Kareem Hunt. They let him go after the issues he had. So he's gone on the team. And he's the exception for them because he was a first-round pick a couple years ago. So they make, like, look at all the guys, like, all the guys you play in fantasy football. Oh, I'll pick up the second Chiefs running back. He'll probably get a start down the road.
That's exactly, you know what?
And play him.
That's exactly what I did in my fantasy playoffs last year, is I picked up Damian Williams, and it was like nothing had changed.
Exactly. It's like he's goes from whatever 3 to 2, but they don't have Ware. They do have, like, they do have Spencer Ware, but, like, Spencer Ware, Damian Williams, didn't they get rid of Tyreek Hill recently? But he's a wide receiver, essentially. Did they cut ties with him, or is he still sticking around? I forget.
No, he's still there right now.
There was something the other day about
him. He's got his own issues going on, but he's still there.
Okay, I thought I saw something more than that. But what Andy Reid can do at running back, would he have a passing quarterback that's – you can't just focus on the passing or running game? Like, are they going to blitz and let Mahomes beat you? Are they going to just stick back and they'll let you run the ball well? But – Andy Reid's track record, even going back to the Eagles with running backs, like, not just the one or two guy, like, the third guy can get some carries. This could be a really good spot where he could easily, I think, is it too far-fetched to say maybe he could compete for starting job as a round six guy? Is that too much to ask for, maybe? A little?
Hard to say, because, I mean, I think that relative to the other guys in that backfield, he might be a little bit undersized. But I found this article over at Chiefs Wire where they were talking to one of the area scouts, Trey Koziel, and one of his quotes was that, you know, I think they see him at least initially as a change of pace guy, but he also sees Thompson as a big play threat, and maybe that's what's missing in that backfield right now, because Spencer Ware is, you know, he's fine, and Damian Williams is fine. But I wouldn't say that either of those guys are a threat to really break open in the same way that Darwin Thompson has shown that he can, especially with the, you know, that he's shown that he can break a lot of tackles as well. So it's not just the speed, but it's also the toughness that I think, you know, the other guys that they have are good, but they don't quite have that same particular kind of skill set.
Yeah, like, I found that same piece, like, it was 6.8 yards per carry, just about.
Yeah.
15 per catch. That maybe that's what they need, that playmaker guy to help Mahomes even do more. Like you say, right there, he gets about 15 yards per every reception he gets. You throw to him instead of throwing to Tyreek Hill or whoever, he could find a place on the field to where be that number two guy and still make be productive. So I really like to pick for him because that'll be great. I'd also like to pick to a John Ursura to Seattle, man.
Can I just say that if I were to disagree with anything, I would disagree with that assessment.
Why is that?
But that doesn't have anything to do with John Ursua himself.
Going to Russell Wilson doesn't throw the ball down the field.
It's not Russell Wilson either. It's going from the run and shoot to a Brian Schottenheimer offense.
Oh yeah, I should have thought of
that. Yeah, they always want to run the ball all the time.
Open it up, Pete Carroll. Tell him to open the passing game up.
But again, I think there's opportunity here for him because it came out, what was it, 2 days ago that Doug Baldwin might be forced to medically retire from the NFL?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. They did draft DK Metcalf, who does not have under 2% body fat because you die if you had less than that. Here's the problem too. I like the fit because there's a lot of opportunity there. But then again, they draft DK Metcalf, they got Greg Jennings, and then also Ursaire way later. So I think there's a chance there, but if Baldwin is gone, it'll open it up. And the reason I like Ursaire, like, he has 200-yard passing games. Part of it is on Cole McDonald or whoever's throwing the ball to him from Nick Rolovich. But even before that, he was making plays and catch the ball before they went to the run and shoot offense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's going to make the roster, he's going to have to do it as a slot receiver, which
That's what
I
they say,
think,
yeah.
and I think maybe there's an opportunity to do that because Lockett, of course, is best on the outside, and David Moore, who came on at times last year, if he's the second wide receiver, he's going to be on the outside too, which leaves the three guys that you just mentioned, including Ursua, as someone to kind of work in that wide receiver three or four role on the inside. And so I think there's an opportunity there, but kind of like we it's to me I see it as almost the inverse of what we just talked about with Keyshawn Johnson, where it's an offensive system where it's like, is it a bridge too far for someone with talent like Ursua? I don't know.
Maybe, but they did draft up to get him.
True.
Yeah, it was a seventh round pick, but still, I think that given, I guess he plays like C plus. I think he's a better player than that, but it could be, like I said, it could be come down to fit and
Yeah.
what the team needs. If Baldwin is really gone, maybe that's why they knew something before we did about those three picking three receivers, and they probably would need to open up a bit more. It'll be risky, but I think I just like his talent and what he did. So maybe this is just not the best team. And how many seventh round guys stick on the roster? Not too many, all that often. Maybe a year, but I think I'll say this: I'm pretty confident he'll be. If he's not with Seattle, he'll be on some NFL team this year.
Yeah.
And then we got back to the Vikings, Olabisi Johnson to Minnesota, pick
Was
two.
it a surprise that he got drafted but not Preston Williams?
I am pretty shocked. Maybe I felt Preston Williams was by far the better receiver, like not even close. Like the way he can catch the ball, go down the field. I felt well because Preston Williams was like the best receiver in the conference last year, pretty much.
Well, I mean, he certainly got the most volume of work.
That's why you're the best receiver. They trust you to get you the ball and they'll catch it. So
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that I don't know. I mean, I think that BC Johnson is kind of like we just talked about with Marcus Epps, where maybe he was a little bit overshadowed.
I agree with that completely, but I still say he's not the better player, but I'm not an NFL scout or whatever, so what do I know?
And I mean, I see him and Keyshawn Johnson as possessing pretty similar skill sets, where maybe they don't have, one or two physical tools that blow you away, but it's a polished product. It's much like a high floor receiver. If he can step in and be a possession type guy, Minnesota's the kind of team where they've done pretty well as far as identifying wide receiver talent recently. Ironically, it's been kind of their high draft picks that have been the biggest misses, like Cordell Patterson and Laquon Treadwell. But they picked Stephon Diggs in the sixth round a few years ago. They signed Adam Thielen as an undrafted free agent, so he'll have some competition, I think, in that regard, because they also drafted Dylan Mitchell in the seventh round out of Oregon as well. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him be at least a role player from week one.
Yeah, I'm not. What I said about saying Preston Williams is by far better, I do believe that, but it doesn't mean, like you said, Johnson's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And with the offense, the Vikings, they want to throw the ball with Brad Childress there. It's like they want to move the ball. So there could be a lot of room for him to get chances on this team.
Yeah.
So, and then the last guy. Long snapper getting drafted. I'm chuckling, but it's kudos to Austin Cutting, but sure. Why do you draft a long snapper? I don't know.
Because you need it.
I know, but just you hear all the stories of the guy, like the guy in Pittsburgh, like worked at the furniture store, come be a long snapper, he gets on the roster and you literally play. Like if I could be any position, like in any sport, that'd probably be the best one to be. 'Cause my younger brother was long snapper just in high school. He's not huge, like a big football player. He's about my size, 6'4", probably just over 200 pounds. High school, that's fine. Long snapper guys don't have to be huge linemen, but you touch the ball. You do like if you screw up, you screw up. But you have what, 8 snaps a game? I'm just saying for field goal and punting. I'm just saying, man, if you can get that gig, even if you get the veteran minimum, go for it, right?
Oh yeah.
Every year. But it is a need, but it is odd, but it's also, like I mentioned, more than Nebraska got drafted, so suck it, Cornhuskers.
Right.
Can we have Raj in Nebraska go around mentioning that every time he gets a chance since he's in Nebraska?
That would actually be pretty hilarious.
Air Force got drafted, you guys did not.
We don't even care if it was a long snapper or not.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I think it was, and somebody from Pro Football Focus had noticed or mentioned that, like, he was flawless on like 98% of his snaps.
That's good, right?
That, I mean, for a long snapper, I imagine it would be.
How was Air Force kicking was pretty good too, like field goal kicking, I believe, this past year.
It was okay.
I was wondering, because it's not his fault if the guy can't kick it through the upright, but...
That's true. He gives him every opportunity to succeed.
Especially if he's 98%. Let me take a quick look. Field goal kicking. They made 9 of 12. Okay. There you go.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. They don't kick that many. They just go for touchdowns, right? That's what the Falcons do.
Yeah, exactly.
Triple option. Bust up the middle. All right, so what's your... So we do have only one question, which we should have got more, but it's okay. Our good buddy Colin, who does stuff for us anyways... Biggest surprise of the draft. I guess mine was, I guess I'd say Madison, right, being drafted that high.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointment? I would say Dax Raymond not getting drafted. He puts negative, but I'll go kind of disappointment. But I think Raymond is a shock he didn't get picked. Because he was seemed highly regarded, not more than Josh Oliver.
You know what? I'm going to say I was mildly disappointed that Brett Rippon didn't get drafted.
Me too. I kind of figured he would as well. Just because quarterbacks usually get drafted regardless who's good, but
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's the entire career profile. You know, I think we have seen 4 years worth of evidence to suggest that he's not a flash in the pan.
Correct.
You know, he may not be like, you know, Josh Allen with the raw tools or something like that, but, you know, he's a tough guy. He could stand in. He knows how to make a lot of the tougher throws out there. And, you know, even though it took him, and, you know, until 5 minutes after the draft to land a deal, I think that Denver is a pretty good place for him, because even though the Broncos also drafted Drew Locke, I am not entirely sold that Drew Locke is that much better than Brett Rippon.
No, and then their starter is Joe Flacco.
Yeah. which is another thing entirely. Don't ask me why Denver decided to do that.
They got rid of Case Keenum, right? Wasn't that part of the deal?
They did, yeah. Case Keenum is in Washington now.
That's right, okay. Oh, that's right, yeah. It's a good point. If Flacco doesn't pan out very well, because he wasn't great last year, Lamar Jackson beat him out. Drew Locke probably dropped second-round pick, I believe? Is that where he got selected?
Yeah, he was, I believe, number 42 overall.
There were some saying he could be like a first round with top QBs, but Giants.
Yeah, I never saw that.
I didn't really either, but Giants screwed that up by taking Daniel Jones, but that's something else entirely.
That really is something else entirely.
I appreciate that for the Cowboys.
Imagine putting the future of your franchise into the hands of a quarterback from Duke.
Who, just because him and his coach knows Eli Manning, or I mean Peyton Manning, excuse me, something like that. But they have a guy in the roster who really knows Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he might be fine, but being number six, like, people like Dwayne Haskins would have been better there, which I probably would agree. And whatever. It's, for a Cowboys fan, great, do it. However, Washington made some pretty good picks, so I'm like, oh boy, they might get a little bit better eventually.
Yeah.
But back to who we were talking about, Rippon, I think you're right. I think that same thing. It's a good spot. Yeah, they drafted the guy. I think that's a great spot for him to go, because it's assuming they take three quarterbacks in the roster, which I don't know. Would you take Flacco and two rookies? That's risky.
I mean, you could do a lot worse.
I guess you could. Is RG3 on the roster or something?
I mean, you just actually, well, RG3, I believe, is still a backup in Baltimore.
I know,
Jackson.
I'm just joking. Like some guy, some generic guy who's like been around but hasn't done much. I'm trying to see if he's on the roster really quick, but that's a risky situation to have, right?
Yes and no. I mean,
not ideal, I'd say.
Denver is still a team that's very clearly rebuilding.
They've been rebuilding since John Elway's been there.
I think if they were expecting them to be a Super Bowl contender, it'd be kind of a high risk, high reward kind of situation. But I mean, the only other guy listed on the depth chart right now is Kevin Hogan.
That sounds like a four from Stanford, right?
Yes. And he's no real threat.
Well, excuse me, Garrett Grayson's on the roster there too.
Oh, really?
Former Colorado State quarterback, third round pick to the Saints.
Man, just imagine Brett Rippon pantsing him again.
Remember, he was good.
No, actually, I shouldn't say that because those were some pretty high scoring games.
He was supposed to go for Drew Brees in New Orleans. How'd that work?
Yeah, okay, so let me rephrase that. Imagine Brett Rippon handing Colorado State another L.
There we go. I just happened to scroll through. I'm like, wait, Garrett Grayson's on the roster. So I think he might make the roster, but it'll be close. It depends. Seeing who they have Flacco, Grayson, Hogan. Drew Lock does have a photo. Okay, there's that. They don't even list him. Well, I guess he's a draft pick officially, or he wasn't a draft pick. I like how Drew Lock has the shadow outline already. They can even Photoshop him in a Broncos uniform on the little thumbnail.
Yeah, I saw that.
We'll see. I think it's a decent spot, but he'd have to beat out Grayson, and then they'd have to take three. I'm pretty sure they'll take three because what's worse, having an Flacco's up there in age for a QB, and a rookie quarterback, that's it. You'd want to have a third guy. So I think there's a chance for him to make that roster. I'm not sure if he will, but I think it's still a pretty good spot.
So if we're talking about, best chances to make the roster as an undrafted free agent.
One more thing real quick. I just remembered this. I pulled up now. Mike Prater over at the, where does he do stuff for Boise? KTAK or Idaho Press, I guess he does stuff there. He put out an article or something. Did you know 600 quarterbacks have been drafted since Boise State last made the list? Idaho State, San Jose have combined for 9 quarterbacks drafted since then.
That doesn't even include Jeff Garcia.
Oh, it does. Oh, well, okay. That's right. Boise State and Air Force, the only Mountain West teams to not have a quarterback drafted. And somebody replies back, include Ryan Finley. I'm like, no, you cannot include Ryan Finley.
No, you can't do that.
He's like, somebody put on there, he's like, people would kill me, and it's wrong. It is technically wrong.
That's like NC State trying to claim Russell Wilson.
Exactly. So, or there's a couple years ago, SEC trying to claim Von Miller from Texas A&M for something when he played in the Big 12. Come on. When he won Defensive Player of the Year, I think, for the Broncos. I think that's the case.
Think so.
Like, no, come on. You cannot claim that. Big 12 shouldn't really claim it either, but the only one to claim it, Texas A&M. But you do what you do for branding, right? But you cannot do that. Sorry. So go, what's your next likely guy to make a UDFA roster?
Would it be cheating to say John Barron II?
What team did he get picked up by? The kicker?
He got picked up by the Chicago Bears.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Who, last we saw, had some very serious misadventures in the playoffs. Cody Parkey is gone.
Yeah.
I heard that there were some rumors that Robbie Gould might go back to Chicago from San Francisco, which would actually be kind of hilarious. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as I know, John Barron's only competition would be Chris Blewett. And I thought it was interesting because when I was looking into information as to what draft prognosticators were seeing about Barron, it struck me that there was some question about how teams would be able to deal with the fact that he was a left-footed kicker.
As a positive or negative?
As a potential negative, which I had no idea because I was like, well, did they not see his tape? Did they not see him make like multiple 50-yard field goals last year? I think he's definitely got the leg to make it work.
I don't think it's him. I think it's the guy catching the ball and spit like the holder, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. And so it was just one of those things where it was like I wasn't expecting something like that to come up as a potential negative, but I think that he's definitely in a good place where he could, maybe more so than anybody who actually got drafted, be able to contribute right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right as well. It's a little limited competition, and teams may take two kickers, or at least heading. If he's not a kicker on their team, like say he does well, it doesn't make it, he'll probably be, I don't know. Do they put kickers on practice? Well, probably not, but they may take a kicker like into a week or two for a roster spot, just not make him active or something perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the week or game weeks, but that's a pretty good spot. But that is odd because I guess because if you are, I'm trying to think, if you take a kick from a right-footed kicker, you are going to catch it with your right hand and put it down. The other way, you'd catch with your left hand and put it down.
Yeah.
Just get a lefty who can hold the ball. Come on.
There you go.
I don't know. It's or catch it with both hands and put it down. They do, right? You're not catching one-handed.
Not usually, I don't think.
I'm betting it's more along the lines of just comfortable for the whoever's going to hold the ball, maybe. But then again, that's not on the kicker. Oh, sort of is, but not really. Do you know what my? You know who's going to make a roster no matter what?
Who's that?
Ryan Pope. When you get a 145 guaranteed salary and a 20,000 signing bonus, they're not cutting you.
That makes a lot of sense.
He and like again, no draft profile on him. Sorry, I didn't think he'd get picked this, but getting $145,000 going to the Lions for base guarantee, which is what's the rookie deal? About 250, I think. 300.
I think so. Yeah.
So he's getting basically a half guaranteed deal. 20K signing bonus is almost the most you can get. So I think he'll make a roster for sure. There's somebody else who got a big deal. Was it Granderson too to the Saints? You got a pretty good sizable bonus.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I'm trying to see here. I'm looking at the screenshot. 85,000 guaranteed, so not quite what Pope did, but that's a pretty big deal. So I think both those guys are going to make a roster. And yeah. Anderson's a really good player. And I always remember him stealing the handoff from Brett Rippon for a touchdown going the other way.
There you go.
So he's a quick guy. So those are a couple of guys who I think will make the roster for sure. You know what my biggest surprise was? You got a free agent deal.
Who's that?
And again, these are probably not 100% up to date. We're doing this Sunday afternoon. There might be a few more trickling in. Gage Ferguson.
Do you think so?
He never played for Utah State.
I mean, he played off and on.
Barely. I had stocked he got a free agent deal. And Ty Ganji, who Ty Ganji started every game this past year, played, well, I think every game, but the main starter for Nevada, and he doesn't get picked up. Let me say that's pretty shocking, right?
Well, for a team like Kansas City that needs all the help it can get on defense, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on then. Let's go to who's my other guy here? Pick I'm looking at. Hold on. I had somebody else I was thinking about.
Well, while you're thinking about it, here's another guy I think ended up in a really good situation. Lexington Thomas.
Where did he end up at? UNLV running.
Well, he has a mini camp with Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I think it's a very good situation
Let me apologize real quick. I don't know why I said Gage Ferguson was a quarterback.
I was about to say.
I wonder why. I'm like, that doesn't sound right at all. I'm just going to say I'm done talking about that. He played maybe what it could have been. There's so many names. It's been a while. I'm going to edit this right now and put defensive back. I was thinking for some reason, I saw somewhere, because we saw the tweets that came through, like, oh, here's a guy who gets signed here, signed there. I'm like, you just say quarterback. I'm betting I just looked at it wrong and typed in too many guys, put defensive back. So
yeah, it happens.
When was football season? A few months ago, right? I want to make that clear because people yell at me.
Too
you're an
far
idiot.
Away.
It's right in the middle of it, essentially. So I apologize for that. I don't know why I thought quarterback. I'm betting somebody did type it, and I may have just kind of went through, but or I don't know, whatever. So go with your next pick. I wanted to double check and say I'm sorry, Aggie fans.
It's because, you know, Indianapolis, I think, as far as I've been able to see, are one of those teams that they've been getting a lot of praise for how well they did with this draft. But you look at their running back situation, and you know, Marlon Mack is an injury risk. Mm-hmm. Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins, they're okay. I wouldn't say that anybody's going to be, you know, knocking down the door to have them on their team. And so I think that if he does well at minicamp and really shows out, that, you know, even despite the size, I think he definitely has the speed to be a different kind of home run hitter that the offense could really use, especially with an offensive line that has really rapidly improved over the last 18 months, going back to when they selected Quentin Nelson in last year's draft. You know, maybe he's not going to get more than 6 or 8 touches per game, but he's exactly the kind of weapon where if they're looking for one more explosive element, he could very well be it.
Did they draft a running back?
I don't think so.
I don't have
that in front of me.
I'll get it in a second. They did pick up UMass running back as an actual free agent, Marquise Young.
Yeah.
And again, Thomas, you mentioned minicamp workout means it's like a 3-day rookie deal, 3-day tryout essentially, so he helped to impress quickly. As for draft,
they did not draft a running back, by the way.
They did not. That's interesting. I know they love Marlon Mack, and people are like, oh, next year he'll be the great running back. They had Frank. Did they have Frank Gore again?
They did, and then they replaced him with Mack.
Yeah, but Gore had a ton of playing time.
Well, that's because Frank Gore is the greatest. But let's not slander Frank Gore.
I'm just saying, as for age and running back, to be, if you can't beat out an aging guy or at least split the carries 50-50, it's kind of on you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying a little bit.
I do think Marlon Mack is pretty good though.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But he's a bit of an injury risk, which is why I think there's an opportunity there for Thomas.
I do have a question for you. Have we figured out Malik Reed's situation?
Yes, he ended up in Denver as well.
Good, because that's what I put here. I was looking at CBS Sports this morning, double checking. There was a conflicting from where he's going to end up at. And so he's at Denver officially.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. All right. Okay, how come? Let me ask you a couple, because quarterbacks are always a needy bunch of group. Teams want them. Can you explain no Ty Gagne, no Marcus Maximilian as a free agent pickup?
I mean, between the two of them, I thought that Maximilian had the better profile than
Agree.
Gagne.
Agree.
But I mean, as far as some of the other guys that have been picked up, it's really actually, you know what? Relatively breaking news.
Ooh.
Maximilian did get an invite to Raiders minicamp.
That actually could be pretty good for him.
So we gotta
All right,
update
I got the
that
page right here. I'll update as we go in a second here. So he's at the Raiders minicamp, who they don't like Derek Carr, but they didn't draft a quarterback.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people like saying that, oh my God, they're definitely gonna draft a quarterback. Derek Carr's out the door. I never saw that.
I
Never
think
saw
Carr's good
that happen.
enough. He doesn't deserve that. He's good enough to be. He's remember, before he broke his leg, he's basically the MVP.
Can we put a functional offense around him?
We
Can
gotta
we
find
put a functional offensive line in
Yeah.
front of him? Can we stop ruining Derek Carr for just a minute?
For just a minute. But you're right, like they lose Marshawn Lynch, he retired again. So the only running back.
And Tyler Romer also, it just came out a
Oh.
little bit earlier this afternoon that he too has a free agent deal with the Raiders.
Mini camp deal or free agent deal?
As far as I can tell, Kirk Kenny of the San Diego Union Tribune says that he signed as an undrafted free agent.
Okay, good for him. He was also the guy who could have been. There are some people saying he could have been taken pretty high.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I don't know necessarily how much we need to get into it, but I know that among all of the Mountain West prospects in this year's class, that he was dealing with the most significant off-field questions.
For sure, because he basically got kicked off the team.
And I think that with the way that the NFL has been publicly wrestling with that earlier these days, you know, we mentioned Tyreek Hill earlier as a perfect example of that. That probably cost him.
Could have been.
And I mean, if it were me as a draft evaluator, I would say that he probably deserved it.
Yeah.
And you know, he's going to have to put in a lot of work, not only on the field, but as a person, to show that he deserves the opportunity that he's getting from the Raiders.
Okay, so he's in Oakland. Let's talk about Dax Raymond real quick. He goes to Chicago. I would say, is that the biggest? You said Brett Rypien. Was it more surprised Rypien wasn't drafted or Dax Raymond not drafted?
Like I said, personally, I would say it's a bigger surprise that Rypien wasn't drafted.
Interesting. I don't know, but going to Chicago, do they have who's their tight end situation? Do you know?
Right now, their number one is Trey Burton.
Okay.
You know, he was okay last
Yeah,
year.
I was thinking they said somebody else a while back. Maybe they used to a couple years ago, but he goes undrafted. We saw what he can do. I'm seriously wondering. People thought he's a couple years older. He's went to Russia for a couple years, so I wonder if that's an issue. Maybe same with John Ursaro going late. Those guys took a couple years off, but not off, but out doing stuff. I think I don't know if like the Bears team. I don't know him that well, but I was surprised that he didn't get drafted because there are a lot of people saying he could be like the first pick taken at anybody from like Utah State, Utah, or BYU, anywhere around here where I'm at, and they were very surprised he didn't get picked at all. So I'll try to see who else. Anybody else that stuck out that did that was a free agent guy?
Can we talk about one guy who hasn't been signed?
Oh, Mike Bell.
Mike Bell.
What's going on there? What did he
That
do to,
surprises me.
who did he hurt to not get drafted? What does he do?
I don't know. I mean, I know that there was a little bit of concern about his combine showing, but I would have thought that he alleviated a lot of those concerns at the pro day, where you know, he improved his 40 time by like a, you know, a tenth and a half of a second, and you know, he improved a couple of other things as well. And so I would have thought for sure that, you know, in the same way that I would have thought he was like a sixth or seventh round pick. But you know, now we're sitting here on Sunday afternoon, and he still hasn't gotten so much as a deal, you know, as an undrafted free agent. And I think it was either last night or earlier this morning, you know, he came out and he basically said that he's not going to forget this feeling. But you know, for me as an observer, as someone who got to see a lot of him last year, I'm just really surprised that he hasn't been able to get a flyer even as a free agent so far.
Yeah, there's. I'm looking through, like, I searched his name really quick. Like, there's guys, depending who's legit or not, everybody can be a draft guy, which is fine. there's guys like, he is a top 200 guy for me, not drafted. People were surprised he's not a like top, one of the top undrafted deals or undrafted players. Like, he's on, like, anywhere you search Mike Bell UDFA, his name pops up everywhere from players like top guys available. Like, yeah, immediately when the draft ended, like 24 hours ago, he was one of the, him and a dozen guys.
Yeah, and when you consider the other safeties who have been able to pick up free agent deals so far, you know, Wingard and Ferguson and Parker Baldwin, who signed with Atlanta, I would have imagined that Bell would definitely be in that conversation among those handful of guys getting a deal at this point.
Do you think Bell got bad information?
I don't know.
Because he had a year of eligibility left. He could have came back.
He did.
So,
I mean, like I said, I didn't blame him for leaving early. I thought for sure that, you know, even if he wasn't like a high draft pick, that there would definitely be a role for him at the professional level. So I'm not sure what to make of the whole situation right now. I would expect that he'll get signed fairly soon. And I think that the team that ultimately does put him on the roster is going to benefit from it.
I would agree. Because there's a, we were chatting yesterday throughout the day, afternoon, like some guys were waiting and some guys were thinking maybe he was negotiating, because some teams will, like, look at the bonus that Pope and guys got, like Gary Anderson to go to the Saints and Lions, those guys, they got pretty sizable bonus, partially guaranteed contracts for not getting picked. I think at this point, that's not the case. You're not negotiating this far 24 hours after the draft to find a team. They'll pass on you if you're, I'm not saying he's doing this, but if he's negotiating with other teams and maybe trying to inflate his offer a little bit, I'm not saying that's the case, but there's something going on for he's not picked yet, because 24 hours later, he's not still negotiating with four different teams to try to find the best spot. They'll just move on from you if you're just being difficult or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying maybe, but I don't know. But it is surprising he's not picked up at this point, the day after the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to see anything else. Air Force did not get a guy picked up. Let's see, anybody else? Did Hawaii get an undrafted guy?
Not that I have seen so far, no.
Let us know on Twitter, MWC Wire, if you see a guy. I was kind of hoping to keep searching for Jalen Robinette, because he's eligible now to be picked up, but nothing on him. Because he's, what, 2 years out removed from, they made the last second deal on the day of the draft. Say, oh, sorry, you cannot go to the NFL and postpone your, or reassess, or not necessarily postpone, but like kind of adjust your commitment after school. So, anything else we need to discuss with the draft at all?
I think that we're pretty much all set.
I think we are good to go here. And so what I think we're going to talk about really quick next to wrap this up is it's almost time for our season previews, Matt.
Almost.
I think here's what our plan is going to be. I'll say it now, and hopefully you and me work things out. I think our next show should be spring roundup, kind of a quick hit of what happened throughout the spring football, because Hawaii just ended their spring practice.
In on that, yeah.
And there's that, and then I think, if I did my math right, I think middle of May is when we need to start doing our weekly previews for the season.
I believe you are correct.
That means top 50 countdown coming our way again.
Mm-hmm.
The most trusted top 50 Mountain West countdown on the internet.
Right? By virtue of being the only top 50.
Hey, is that part of it?
It's exclusive to Mountain West Wire. That's how I'm going to frame it.
It's exclusive to the internet on our website, essentially.
Yes, exactly.
We'll do that. I'm going to jump back in and get our all-time teams done, because that kind of took a hiatus break because it is 20 years. So,
And I might be working on another project with that in mind.
Excellent.
That's what we in the professionals call a teaser.
I got another teaser, which I'm going to do this. I did sort of last year and year before. I'm going to actually commit to my quarterback rankings each week, which I think is a pretty fun thing to do.
Sounds good to me.
So look for that. I'll do some quarterback competition type stuff, some quarterback rankings and positions. But we'll have our previews coming through, team previews, opponent previews. Hey, we're getting close to camp start late July, right? Last week of July, especially for Hawaii.
Something around there, yeah.
It's what, 12 weeks away 15 from camp starting?
I believe so.
We better hustle. We need to get on this.
That's true, yeah.
All right, well, with that being said, thanks for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, anywhere you can find your awesome podcast. We are there. I don't think we've had reviews in a while. Let us know if we're good. Just let us know if we're good. Leave a review. I won't say anything else, right? Leave us a positive review on your good old podcast app you use. So with that, MWR.com is our site, and we'll see you next time, folks.